Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first edition of the 21-22 Jay Willie Show. I am so excited to be here, Jay. Of course, the other guy in this picture on your video screen is Coach Jason Williford, also known as Jay Willie, and I am your host, Mark Jerome. Jay, welcome.
It's good to be back, Mark. It's been too long.
It's been a long time.
And most of that is my fault. I do apologize.
No, I don't agree with that.
Okay. All right.
I would disagree with that. We haven't, you know, this is perfect timing. We're on the eve of college basketball, on the eve of UVA's first game. This is the perfect time for this. Otherwise, it might get a little boring. Right? There's so much to talk about tonight.
Well, I'm ready. You just lead the way.
All right, before we get into UVA basketball, I want a family update. I want to hear about the kids. I know you have a freshman in high school.
I do.
Who is a big time player, and I know you're humble about it.
I don't know about that.
Okay. Well, you haven't bragged to me about it. And I was on the phone with Coach O last week.
Yeah.
Who hit me up, and we just had such a good conversation. He didn't say anything about Jay Willie's kids. Jay Willie's talking trash. They were talking about how good his kid is. You fit the UVA system.
But you know, I'll never do that because I got to keep them grounded. I got to keep them working. But I do. My oldest just finished varsity football as a ninth grader, believe it or not. He played receiver and DB, but unfortunately he broke his ring finger on his right hand with about 3 games left in the year. So he's in a cast, but he'll be fine for basketball season. I told him he's got to do everything now left-handed. So he's dribbling left hand, finishing left hand. I told the coach run sprints, just running to death. So he's in shape once he gets out of the cast. But I was a little nervous with him doing football. I told the coach, keep him on offense. Don't go across the middle. We don't want to play any defense. First game of the year. The boy doesn't come out of the game, the entire game. I'm like, what in the world? He played offense, defense, special team, his kick return. I'm like, they're trying to kill my boy.
Well, wait a minute. Sounds like you have a great relationship with the coach. He's got a lot of respect for you.
I thought so the coach says, I had no choice. He's a pretty good athlete. So I trusted the coach. He wasn't going to get in. And Austin's a decent sized kid. But my fear was those upperclassmen, the 11th and 12th graders, those guys really putting a shellacking on him. But he had a good year.
How big is he now?
He's about 6'3", about 165, soaking wet. So he got decent size. but I was so nervous that first game. I was like, oh, my, don't send my boy across the middle. But he enjoyed it, Mark. He wants to do it again next year. He said, give me 2 years of football and then let me figure out what I want to do. So I'll give him that. Football's in our genes. Papa played, my father played.
What level?
He played Division II and he was a free agent with the Falcons.
Wow.
So he did football. I played a little bit. And then Cam, we all know about Cam and in the schooling during the pandemic. Cam is also doing football. He did middle school football. And Cam's actually pretty good at football. He is a running back and safety. And he's probably averaging about 4 touchdowns a game as a running back. He's pretty good. And he's playing running back and a little bit of quarterback. So I enjoy watching those guys play football.
You might have some upset Virginia basketball fans who might be watching the show or will be watching the show at some point if the boys decide to play football. But maybe, who knows, if they go that route, maybe they play football at UVA.
Well, that's, you know, we'll see. If they can make it to that level, that's a good thing. I don't want to pay for college, so that's a good thing.
I get it. I get it. And I am... Yes, and I have 2 down so far.
There you go.
Where I haven't been able to do that, and it's very healthy. It's allowed me to not be evicted from my apartment, so I'm very happy.
Makes a world of difference. But no, they're off to good starts in school, and then football wise, they both have had good years doing football, and so now it's basketball season. We're getting ready for that.
I gave you a little advice about football last year.
What was that?
And I love it. I love football, but I remember getting hit one time. And I was like, I'm not going across the middle anymore.
Well, that was my biggest fear. Like, I don't mind him catching outs and fly patterns and fades in the end zone. Don't send my boy across the middle.
And one time I got a hit pointer, and I couldn't play the first month. I was out of practice. My advice to you last year, and I love football. I love playing it. I love watching it. My advice to you was, don't let your boys play, especially because they have such good basketball careers ahead of them.
Well,
it's too dangerous.
You see what I got on, man. It's in the gene. It's football is in me. So at this rate, I'm just going to let them see if they like it, and we'll figure it out. But then my wife has been great. She's working from home still, and she is holding down the fort. She's the backbone of the family, so she's doing well.
Please say hello to Kwamina for me.
We'll do.
And good luck with the boys. I prefer them playing basketball. And where is Austin going to school?
He's at Stab. He goes to Stab.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So is he under Damon yet?
Yeah. So today was their first official tryouts today and tomorrow, then practice after tryouts.
Okay, I'm gonna get the lowdown from Dame, who already told me how good he was. And my Kobe told me how good he was too last year. As an eighth grader, we still have that. We showed that highlight of his windmill last year, which was awesome.
We still got work to do. And my fear is, though, he may not get much taller. So he's going to have to learn and be a point guard. Now, if he gets to 6'7", he can play on the wing and do whatever. That's his ultimate goal. He wants to be taller than dad and be 6'7". So I told him he better drink a lot of milk and get plenty of sleep.
That's great advice. Thank you, Dr. Olafor. All right, real quickly, we're going to talk about your Steelers. And we still got to get Joe Guy on to talk about his Bengals. The Bengals crushed me the last couple of weeks.
He does not want to come on and talk about the Bengals, not after the last 2 weeks.
No, he doesn't. And I was I have season tickets to the Jets game.
Oh, wow.
And I'm there. So you know what knockout pools are, right? Where you pick your team in survivor pools, basically. Every week you got to pick a team to win and not lose, right? Whoever loses that week gets knocked out of the pool.
Okay.
And they're done.
So the Bengals are done?
I'm done because I picked the Bengals. There were like 200 people in the pool.
Everyone probably picked the Bengals. There's no way they should have lost to the Jets.
A lot of people. I know. And I'm sitting there going, you know, I'm not going to be loudly rooting for the Bengals in the Giants Stadium where the Jets play.
Yeah, Joe does not want to come on right now. I will let him have it.
I will too, because he got me knocked out of my pool. Yeah.
And we got three straight. We got a big one tonight. We control our destiny. This is what the Steelers do to me. They start off bad. I write them off for the year. Then they win three straight and they suck me right back in. And now I'm in my Polamalu jersey. I'm ready for the game tonight. I'm sitting in my grandfather's chair. This is my mom's dad's rocking chair. I got this from Pittsburgh when he passed. So I'm trying to get good vibes for the game tonight.
Do you know how many Super Bowls the Steelers have won?
Six.
Don't be too spoiled.
Six.
When's the last one?
The last Super Bowl was, I think, the Cardinals. We beat Phoenix Cardinals.
How many teams have won five or six Super Bowls?
Hey, listen, I'm greedy. I just don't like when Brady keeps winning. I'm greedy. He's got more than we do as by himself.
Well, he's the all-time greatest quarterback.
Yeah, he's the GOAT. I'll give him that. I don't like when he wins, but he is the GOAT.
And I'm not a huge Brady fan, but I respect like his craft and his work ethic, so I love that.
No, he's good. And he's knocked us out of the playoffs way too many times.
Yeah, well, you'll be back there at some point. Might not be in your lifetime, but I'm sure they'll be back there at some point. So, you know, TW, who is the brains of the operation of locker room access and hardest work, one of the hardest working dudes I've ever met. You know, there's no substitute for hard work, right? Hard work often leads to success.
Always.
No guarantees.
Never fail.
All right. So once again, he has outdone himself. And you know what he did this year for us?
What's Jay that? Wills?
Got us a sponsor for the show.
Let's go.
Isn't that awesome?
What we got? You guys don't tell me any of this stuff. You just say jump on.
Reigns and Rogers Jewelry. Where Charlottesville gets engaged.
There you go.
I like that. Reigns and Rogers. Sorry. Reigns and Rogers Jewelry. Where Charlottesville gets engaged. They are at 240 29th Place Court. Do you know them?
I don't. But
you're going to have to stop by there and get some nice Quamina.
Yeah. Yep. We've got Christmas around the corner.
That's right. That's right. So if she's watching this show, she's going to be expecting something nice with the Reigns and Rogers jewelry box.
There you go.
Yep.
I'll have to pop in.
So thank them. Congrats to Locker Room Access and thanks Reigns and Rogers for supporting us.
Absolutely. Good job, T-Dub.
Yeah, awesome job. And the one thing we're missing tonight, who will be on next week, DJ YB.
There you go.
Who you can check out, still check out on Wednesday nights, I believe, on Twitch.
He's still doing.
YB. Still doing his thing. Still doing his thing. All right, let's get to it.
All right, I'm ready. Enough of the catching up. Let's go.
Let's talk about the team. What do we have? How are we gonna replace three dudes that moved on that were big time players? You gotta replace three NBA guys. How are you gonna do that?
We gotta replace a ton of shooting. I mean, they were great players, but God, they could shoot that basketball and stretch the floor with the ability to shoot. Gonna be hard. We're a work in progress, Mark. That's what I've been saying every time I get interviewed. We're a work in progress. We've got Armand Franklin, who's a transfer, I think will help from a shooting standpoint. He can shoot the ball, space the floor. He'll be able to knock down shots.
Transfer from Indiana, correct?
Transfer from Indiana.
What did he shoot last year from three with Indiana? I think it was 40%.
Yeah, I don't know that offhand. And then Jaden Gardner, the transfer from East Carolina. Both those transfers will be able to score the ball. Now, Jaden won't stretch the floor like Trey and Sam and Jay did, but, you know, we can throw it to him in the mid post at the elbows. He can score in the middle of the zone from about 15, 17 feet and in. He's pretty good. I think he can knock down feet set with room and rhythm, can knock down the three, but that's not his strength. But Armand's ability to shoot the ball, stretch the floor, then Jaden's ability to score, rebound, get to the free throw line, he's good. And they've shown that in the preseason. Kihei's much improved. He's put in a ton of work with his shot. He's getting it off quicker, shooting the three. So we're going to need him to bang some shots. And then the rest is by committee. We'll hopefully Carson can throw some shots in. Reese Beekman's worked on his shot. He's just got to – Reese, to me, has got to just have the confidence and take them. Sometimes he turns down shots. We need him to – when they present themselves to shoot him. There's nothing wrong with a shot. I mean, he's just got to trust that he's put the work in. I said McCorkle, Statman, obviously the two first-year guys, Tane and Igor, and then Big Poppy. I mean, we've only got 10. They're all going to have to at some point contribute and give us something. But to replace what we lost, is a lot. And like I said, we got to do it by committee. We got, it all starts with our defense. Got to play defense. And then hopefully as the season progresses, Cade and Cedric, I forgot to mention him, but those guys all gain confidence and figure out where they can score and how to score.
I'm going to get to the defense in a moment. Who is the critical piece, do you think, of the team this year? We had a pregame preseason show last week or 2 weeks ago when it was, and I felt like it was going to be Jaden. Like, you know what you're going to, pretty much you know what you're going to get from Kihei. You know Reese is going to play great defense. Will his shot be improved? We hope so. Like, Caden's going to be fairly strong rebounding, and hopefully he gives something. Franklin is going to probably shoot somewhere between 33 and 40% from three.
Yeah.
Jaden Garner is listed as 6'6".
Yeah.
Is he really 6'6 or 6'5?
I give him, I mean, he's about my height. So, yeah, about 6'5, 6'6, 6'5 and a half, 6'6.
Okay.
He would probably shoot me if he heard me saying he was 6'5. But he's a mound, round, a rebound. He's what Barkley used to be. I mean, he's got a big derriere. He's a strong kid, plays bigger than his size. And I tell people all the time, he's figured out, quite honestly, how to score and be effective at that size. Over bigger guys, he's got a knack for getting his shot off. He can get, like I said, he draws fouls. I think he's going to be, I think if we can get numbers wise, what he did at East Carolina, and I'm not, you know, if he can give us 15 a game, that's great. You know, but if he can give us close to what he did, I don't know, he may have scored more than that at ECU. But if he can give us double figure scoring, you know, 6 to 8 boards a game, that's all we can ask, and other guys have to step up. But to be honest, Mark, who that guy is, I think they all are gonna have to step up and play important roles at some point. Like Caden to me's got to be opportunistic, scoring, defend, rebound, block shots. Poppy's got to do the same, and then we got to get a guy to come in and bang some shots and you know, stretch the floor a little bit between, you know, be it Carson, be it Cody, be it Tane or Igor. Those guys are going to have to just be efficient when they get out there. Don't turn the ball over, play solid defense, and, you know, trust their strokes.
Yep. And you know, I think we can both agree that the AAC, which is the conference East Carolina plays in, and the ACC are quite different. They don't have the Dukes, they don't have the Carolinas, they don't have the guys that any team in the AACC where the bigs are athletic and long.
Yeah,
right? Not necessarily playing as great 6'10", 6'11" guys.
It is different, Mark, but listen, Houston was a beast in that league.
Yep.
Cincinnati has been good in that league. He went up against that. If I'm not mistaken, they played a couple ACC teams. Like the kid, and it's funny, and I'm glad we got him, but I remember watching him in high school playing AAU ball, saying, God, he's undersized, but he finds a way. I mean, his Garner Road Carolina team, they were good. And I mean, he did it against big time talent, size, athleticism. I think he's so excited to be playing in the ACC. He gets to fulfill a dream that he's ready. And he's going to take on all comers.
If he gets 13-7, I think you guys are successful.
I hope so. I'm praying he can do that.
Yeah, and hopefully he scores more than that. Or you know,
I mean, you know, 13-7 for us, Marcus, but that's doing it. That's pretty efficient.
Well, as long as you have other guys though too who are getting theirs, right? Because you guys could have, in the past, you guys have had three or four scorers,
right?
who got double digits, which was great. Right. But
and I think
we gotta fill it.
Somebody, I mean, we'll have to do, they'll step to the plate. I'm almost certain. Like I said, we got a limited number. We got 10 this year, and they just gotta keep working and keep grinding. I'm so looking forward to tomorrow night.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about the defense. Where does this team's defense stand compared to last year's at this time?
Whoo. We're working. I just named, so outside of Kihei and Reese, and then Cafaro got limited minutes, Shedrick limited minutes, Statman limited minutes, right? McCorkle limited minutes. Like limited minutes and new pieces, we're still working. Two transfers, two first year guys, and guys that are in all honesty, very inexperienced. We're a work in progress, offensively, defensively. I don't think we're the same as last year at this time. Just because you had Kihei and you know, Thomas and Jay, and you had guys, Sam, even though it was his first year, you know, he set out, he was in the system, you know, he was learning. So you had guys, and even, you know, even Marcel, who transferred out, and those guys, I mean, they kind of knew what it was like. So different than last year. But I'm loving the challenge going in every day. They're working their butts off. But I do like us at the point of attack with both Kihei and Reese. I mean, they can be pests on the ball, and I think it starts with them.
Before I ask my next question, it looks like we got a question from the audience from Lance Payton. Who does Jay Willie see making the biggest leap this year?
To be honest, I think early on it'll be Reese Buechner. I mean, I think Reese will he's playing with a different type of confidence, different. He just looks like he's been there, done that before, and he's been really good in practice and in a couple scrimmages that we've had. But I hope that one of the bigs steps up between Shedrick and Cafaro to just take a huge step forward, because I think we're going to need that. Like you said, in the ACC, you got, I mean, just that size. I mean, you take those two off the floor, we don't have a whole lot of size after that. So getting one of those guys to step up. But Reese Buechner, he's had the biggest leap thus far.
Thanks, Lance Payton out of Atlanta, Georgia, for asking that question. You know who Reese Buechner's favorite biggest fan is?
No question. I absolutely. He's always tweeting, and every time I get a notification, is fresh talking about Buechner. He's got a man crush.
Hey man, Reese! Exclamation! My God. You told me early. I watched this film from high school. I like the way he plays the whole thing, but you know, it's time for the fresh question of the match, right?
What's going on, Fred?
Thanks for taking my role there, Dougie.
My bad, buddy.
you know, when I called Dougie, I was like, Dougie, guess what? Jay Willie shows back. You would have thought I was taking a kid through the toy store.
Hey, you guys,
I get to ask my question.
Oprah, if you don't watch Jay Willie, that's on you. That's your problem, not me. I get it.
Dougie, I just want to make this announcement before you start.
Yep.
This is a family show.
I get it.
Hey, what did we do before, Mark? When what did he get?
The bell.
There you go.
Oh, it's right next to me. I think he only got dinged twice on the preseason podcast, I think.
All right.
So Fred, we have an over-under. We have a
bet going. You got to keep it clean. Let's go.
It's all clean. I have 25 questions. No big deal, Jay.
All right.
I'm my ready. First one.
Look, you listening. Get a 1A and a 1B. You're limited.
I've been listening. You guys are talking about football, right? And your sons are playing football and basketball, football. Who would have been the best tight end? Yuri Barnes, Jaden Gardner, or Brian Stith? But you gotta let Brian scoot out. He can't be a tight end, right?
Yeah, he wasn't fast enough to play receiver.
Who?
B. Stith.
All right, wrong answer already. Go ahead.
I would say YB's hands weren't good enough.
he's not here tonight to defend himself.
I know. YB's hands weren't good enough. Gardner's got the size. I need to see more of him. Stith. Here's why I'm a little disappointed. I should be in that category for tight end because I could catch anything.
I was going to say you eliminated the three choices. So where are you going with this?
No, I will tell you, Jay Willie and Brian's hands were absurd. But you didn't have Brian's hands. Like, be nice.
When's the last time you threw his hand? B was bigger than me, but I'm just saying, if it's the 260 pound, 255 pound Jay Willie now,
right?
My hands are big time.
For sure. Right,
but I'm going to go. I'll go with Stith as the best tight end.
Good. By the way, nailed it. It's always Brian Stith. If I ever bring Brian Stith into the question, it's Brian Stith. You get it, Jay.
And if you don't, listen, Jay Wills, I'm glad you said that because you know how Dougie has a man crush on Reese?
Yeah.
Magnify that by 100,000, how he feels about B. Stith. If your final answer wasn't B. Stith, he wouldn't be sleeping for 3 days.
That's his boy, though. You got that. Look, that's his boy. B could do no wrong. He watched B bail him out a few games. Like, B's like Superman.
Yep. Best player I ever saw on the basketball court in college. Me, personally, me. All right, I have another one for you. Trickier. Yeah. So you've been a UVA basketball coach for 12 years, 10 years, whatever it is. Who cares?
13.
Who is your all Chris Havlicek team? Meaning, not basketball, the funniest dudes you have coached who are legit funny, like Hav.
Legit funny.
I mean, do you agree Hav's the funniest dude we know?
He's hilarious.
Guys you coach, if you were able to enjoy it and, you know.
But so fresh, the guys are like they haven't, they outside of social media, they don't talk. They can't, you don't get them to do anything if they ain't tweeting or texting. I would say Jay Huff is the closest when it comes to.
Really?
Yeah.
But nobody else just comes in. Like, you remember, Hav made every coach laugh, like grown men. So that's just not funny.
No, our guys, no. Hell, we can't even get them to talk half the time in practice. You talk about being funny.
All right, hold on. I got one more. All right, thank you. Now, this is semi-serious. So, you know, last year we do pregame, halftime, postgame, and we watch everything. I'm all in. I'm a who. Look, you can't tell. What I thought last year was there was a lack of, and it could be COVID, and I don't discount that, by the way. A lot of people do. I do not.
Yeah.
It's socialization, the whole thing. Who do you see emerging as the leaders of this team? Because you, and I'm gonna preface that by saying, it's not always easy for a guy to find his voice on a team. You were a guy from day one, a dude that, like, you had no filter, but all positive. No, in a good way. I don't mean the bad way. But it's hardly, does Armand come in, Jalen come in? Do they have a voice in the team, or do they, like,
yeah,
hey man, you that's, a,
Fresh, that's a great question, to be honest.
Oh, I know it is. Don't worry about that.
We've got some guys lead by just example, work ethic, what they do, and aren't as vocal. And I maintain that I think really good leaders, great leaders, have to be able to do both. And I think we're still searching, quite honestly. I don't think innately Kihei is a talker. He's a super competitive. I think we've got a quiet bunch. But, you know, from a competitive standpoint, they all are laying it on the line. I would say, I think Reese and Caden and Jaden Gardner have to take a step in that direction for us, because I think naturally the three of them have that ability to do that. And so we've been challenging those guys to, quite honestly, do that. And Kihei, because he's got the most experience, you know, he's kind of been thrust into that. And he's having to work on that vocal part. But his work, you know, him putting the work in and the guys watching his work ethic's not a problem at all. But really good leaders, you guys know it. I mean, they do both. Ty was that way. Naturally, Devin Hall was that way. Ironically, London was very much a lot like Kihei. I mean, he worked his butt off, but London wasn't as vocal. One of the best IQ field minds we've ever had. But from a vocal, you know, holding guys accountable, getting after guys when you need to get, and you guys, you know it, Fresh. You got to get after dudes at times.
Yep.
It can't always be nice when you need to put your foot up somebody's butt. You gotta hold them accountable. And that's what good leaders do. And so I like I tell you, we're a work in progress, and that leadership area is one of them. But I think someone in that group, Kihei, Reese, Caden, and Jaden Gardner, will emerge, if not all of them. And once they do, player-led teams are much better than coach-led teams. If the coach has to do everything, that's a problem. When players take ownership and they can lead, great things happen.
I love it. That's what I was thinking. We think about back to Brian Smith. Brian didn't go after any of us. He just showed us what you got to do. You want to be good, work like me. Right? Do you agree? So that's an interesting question for me, man. And you know, you're up in the thick of it. So appreciate it.
We appreciate it. And we will we'll see you tomorrow night on the pregame show, right?
8:30. Can't wait. The midshipman.
It's a late start, huh?
9:00.
Who are we playing? Air Force?
Well, we got Navy.
I know, I'm kidding. That was a joke, yeah.
With David Robinson, yeah.
Come on, man. I'm all in, boy.
All right, Dougie, look forward to seeing you tomorrow night. Say hi to
the Steelers. Up 7-0, by the way. The Steelers are up. I got the score over here.
Fantastic. It's early. I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for you, though. Hey, let's go back to last year for a second.
Yeah.
And obviously, of course, a disappointing loss. And anytime you lose in the tournament is disappointing, I'm sure. What was the mood in the locker room after the loss? How tough did guys take it? And then thinking about the following year, what were you guys thinking that needed to improve?
Yeah, it was hard. It was a tough pill to swallow. You know, when you got Sam in his only year playing, you know, it's it for Jay and Thomas, and we kind of knew where the Trey Murphy thing was headed as a staff. You know, you felt for those guys. But quite honestly, you know, me, staff, having gone through what we went through as the 116, you kind of just fall back on that experience. And there's not a whole lot worse than that. So that wasn't the end of the world, you know, losing to Ohio U. We knew we had to get back to the drawing board. And the young guys, the returners, I remember Caden putting his arm around Reese saying, we're going to get back, you know, walking to the locker room. He's talking to him and we'll be back. So you kind of just draw on experiences and you take whatever you can from that L and learn from it. And then from a recruiting standpoint, you go and recruit guys that you think can help fill voids. And obviously we had a couple kids leave and we were able to jump in the portal and get two good pieces. So, we knew what we had coming back and we just put the work in, hey, that was last year. Let's learn from that. And quite honestly, Mark, you watched it. I mean, if we just shoot and make three more threes, it's a different ball game. We got great looks, ball just didn't go in. And make no excuses, we were dealt a hard hand, but that's what the season was. It was a weird year with all the protocol stuff. It was a tough way to, we had just won a great game in the ACC tournament on a big shot, excited about what the future next game looked like, and boom, everything is halted. And so it was tough. But we bounced, like we did previously. We bounce back. We're going to bounce back. We're going to put that in the rear view and draw from it when need be, but we'll move forward.
What is the mood after practice now, and what are the expectations of this team?
Every year the expectations, quite honestly, are the same. Be as best we can be. We break it down, non-conference, ACC, and then try to get to the postseason. We can get to the postseason, anything can happen. So, we're working towards being a solid team that is gonna, it's all cliche-ish, but get good shots, take care of the ball, play good defense. We can do those things. And that's what we're trying to build, just every day in the dirt, building solid defensive fundamentals and getting everybody on the same page defensively, and then just working our offense the best way we can, getting good shots, taking care of the basketball. And that's what preseason's been about. I'm just instilling that mindset in these guys. And it's just an everyday thing. But as far as expectations for the year, I don't think that ever changes, where we currently stand as a program. We want to compete with the best in our league and have a chance at postseason. But it's one game at a time.
Two games this week, tomorrow night Navy, Friday night Radford. Do you sense that the team is excited about tomorrow night, especially after like last year, as you said, it was like a weird year, fans, stands?
I think so. I think they're excited. For a lot of these dudes, it's an opportunity of a lifetime. They're going to get more playing time than they could ever imagine. They're going to have a chance. At some point we're going to rely on all 10, but they're excited. I mean, not only having 250 people in the arena last year, I mean, whatever that number was, for us, JPJ is a huge advantage. Yeah. When it gets loud, where else in the country do they count down for shot clock violation? I mean, we missed that. And I think defensively, we're going to draw on that, because they understand what we're about. So that'll help, the students being there, the band, the atmosphere. I know Gardner's looking forward to it. I mean, he's talked about it. He's as a child, all he wanted to do was play in the ACC. Well, he gets to fulfill that dream. So, he's excited. I think the guys are, I think they're all excited. But I think there's some guys that are a little nervous as well. And that's a good thing.
How could you not be, especially if you're a first year player, whether you're a transfer or a first year student, coming to play NJPJ with, 14,000 fans?
14,500.
In that beautiful, most gorgeous arena I think I've been to, maybe with the exception of Louisville, right? Which is like our home away from home anyway, right? With the other success we had there. It's got to be like the biggest thrill of someone's life. No, I remember my first time walking in there. I was like, I walked in there with you.
Yeah.
With Ty.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're going to Stanford before we went to UVA. And I walked in there. I'm like, I'm done. Where do I sign?
Right. No, I think they're excited. I'm excited. It's a new year, new group. It's a great group of kids. They're giving us everything. They're working hard. We're excited.
Got another question from the audience from Randy Allen. How do Igor and Tane look?
They look good. They look like first years at times, which is expected, but they're working. They look good. They're different positions. One's more of a stretch four, the other's kind of a wing. Tane, I describe him as a poor man's Joe Harris. He's not quite the shooter Joe was, but he's as tough and competitive as Joe ever was. That's that rugby background that he's got. But then Igor is a 6'10" stretch four, can really shoot it, stretch the floor. But they both are working defensively. I think it's an adjustment for those guys. And any kid, foreign kids in particular, coming over, having to adjust culturally to the academic rigors, all of that. Those guys have been good, but it's a lot. We're throwing a lot at them. And there are days where they look really good, and then there's days where you can see the wheels are spinning up here, and they're just trying to hold on for dear life. They look like most first years, they both will have their opportunity.
You beat me to it. I was just going to ask them how they're adjusting defensively. And I know that's always a challenge.
Yeah, very much so. The three-line closeout drill. Just ask Ty and those guys about that drill.
We talked about it last year. I remember a conversation we had, who was the best at it defensively in the closing out. So on the roster this year, there are three non-U.S. players. Is that accurate?
No, there's
Tane, Cody, Igor, Poppy.
Poppy, Tane, Igor.
Four.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is – you guys spend a lot of time recruiting guys overseas. Is there a reason for that? If you look at most rosters, I don't know if everybody averages 3 to 4 guys overseas every year.
Yeah, we'll go wherever the talent is, and a lot of times they're just – we've got to end. There's a hook to a kid from abroad, be it Tony's relationship or someone on staff having known someone or been overseas and tell us about a kid. So, I just think we've been fortunate to be able to find guys because of those relationships. I mean, Gonzaga's made a living off of kids from abroad. And there's talent. We're a little different. We're not going to get the McDonald's All-American all the time, but sometimes you find a kid that's just excited about the opportunity, wants a good academic situation, and wants to play in the best conference in the country as far as basketball goes. So those kids come over and they're very appreciative and they work their butts off. I mean, Jack Salt, Mamadi, you name it.
You mentioned Gonzaga, and I just thought about it. I was like, what is Mark Few doing? And I know that there could be insert tons of jokes right here, right? What is he doing to recruit some of the best players he's getting overseas and this country. He's got the number one player, right? He's got Chet Holmgren.
Yeah, Chet's pretty good. You know, they've had a ton of success. They've got an in overseas, and I don't know exactly what that in is. It's got to be one of the assistants or somebody on that staff that has either was overseas, played over there. They must know every agent in Europe, but they're getting players like crazy. But they do a good job. I mean, they've been very consistent over the years in doing that. And so I guess kids want to go there. But we've had our fair share of good players from here and abroad.
Yeah, no question. All right, Navy tomorrow night. What do we got for a brief scouting report on Navy?
Yeah. They got a ton of experience. I mean, they got guys. We played them 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, before COVID. And they've got a ton of seniors. They're a veteran group. So I don't expect them to come in here and be overwhelmed or in awe of us. We're going to have to come out and play. They're going to be tough. They played us a lot of zones. So, I hope... we can bang some shots. We're going to have to make some shots from three if they do, if they drop in that zone. But again, tough-minded veteran group, not going to be afraid, not going to back down. They're going to give us everything. In those cases, I've got experience against that in being at American, when I was at American in that league. Those Navy and Army teams, We're always that way. I mean, those kids are just cut from a different cloth. They play hard, they execute their stuff. But anytime you got an experienced group, they've got like four or five seniors that are all playing. So they were 15-3, if I'm not mistaken, last year in the COVID year in that league. So they're good. We're gonna have to come to play.
And who's looking ahead, which I don't like to do, and I'm sure you don't like to do, to another team, but just quickly, because we won't see you again until next week, who's got the Radford scouting report?
Yeah, so I don't know if it's Brad or Kyle. I don't have it. I have not thought about Radford. It's game one.
I get it.
Prepping for Navy. I don't know a whole lot about Radford right now, to be honest.
All right, we'll talk about them next week. Yeah. We talked a lot about defense, which we will always spend time on. What are we going to see offensively this year? You know I'm going to ask you. Are we seeing the blocker mover? Are we seeing something else? Are we seeing some new?
What do I always tell you? We're going to stick to what we do. Yeah, I mean we got a little bit of old, new, very old. So that's all I can tell you.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the new.
Yeah, we got different personnel. So, we got to play to their strengths. Guys got to execute. But you'll see, I mean, we won't look much different than we have over the years. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
No question. Absolutely. All right. I'm going to let you get to your Steelers game.
It's still score. Yeah. I'm good.
Say it again.
7-0 Pittsburgh, end of the first.
Okay. Before I let you go, once again, I want a big thanks to Rhines and Rogers. Right?
Absolutely.
I won't let Kwamina know when I talk to her that you're getting something from there. We'll make it a surprise.
I can't keep anything from her because I've got to put it on the credit card and she sees every transaction that happens. So
you don't have to pay by credit card.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Why?
She don't give me cash. Listen, everything she sees, okay?
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait.
We'll leave it at that. All right.
Okay. Do you have to ask for permission to go hang out with friends?
Yes.
Okay.
I get it. I get a debit card that she just every month there's a little bit on there, and I ask, hey, it might be getting a little low, but that's about it.
Does she tell you what she wants for Christmas?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, let her know that Rhymes and Rogers is supporting us, so we should go support them.
I will, for sure.
All right. Good luck tomorrow night. Good luck tonight with Steelers.
Thank you.
More importantly, good luck tonight with UVA.
Thank you.
And good luck Friday, because I won't talk to you in between. And hopefully we'll see you on the show next week, 2-0.
I hope so. Knock on wood.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Appreciate you.
Looking forward to it. So excited about the upcoming season. I look forward. I'll talk to you soon. Big time.
All right.
All right. Take care. Good night.